You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we completed chapter 61. So let's go ahead and begin chapter 62. But what I want you to see first is verse 11. That'll be our focal theme verse for chapter 62. Now hear these words. Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Again, with this verse, we want to understand that the Lord is giving us ears to see. The Holy Spirit is working through the Word so that we can see Jesus, who is the salvation of Yahweh, the one who is coming to save us, namely, to save us from our sins. Now, that's going to be the focal verse for the entire chapter, that in this chapter, we want to focus our attention and to behold Jesus. Now, let's go ahead and get started at verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. Now, to begin with, remember the voice that was speaking in the wilderness, going all the way back to chapter 40, that God speaks, and when God's voice is heard, his word does what he says, that he acts and he speaks, that the voice is there to reassure us that he is present with us. Now, here we're talking about a time when the voice is not heard, that he is silent, that he is quiet. But now he's going to break the silence and he will be quiet no longer, all for the sake of Zion and Jerusalem, his people, where he comes to dwell, where he gives his promises. And again, all these promises are focused in the righteous one, the one who is the salvation of Yahweh. So Christ is her righteousness, going forth as brightness. Christ is her salvation as a burning torch. Now, his righteousness, of course, is then imputed to the believer who begins to act righteously, who begins to do righteous things. Now, again, we want to make a distinction between the active achieved righteousness versus the passive received righteousness. Now, first of all, Jesus is the righteous one. He alone is righteous. And it's his righteousness that is given to us as a gift, that is a passive received righteousness by God's grace and received freely as a gift through faith. But then when we become righteous in Christ's sight, when he unites himself to us, that we are his and he is ours, that our wickedness becomes his and his righteousness becomes ours, then we begin to act righteously. We begin to do new things in the new way, in the new creation with the Holy Spirit, enabling us to think new thoughts, to speak new words, and to do new acts. Now, here is the righteousness that we are waiting for, the one that will go forth as brightness, the salvation that we are waiting for, the one who is Jesus, our Savior. Now, in this passage, Yahweh is speaking. And again, remember, this is how the kingdom of God comes. when our Heavenly Father gives to us His Word. And when His Word is heard, He pours out upon us His Holy Spirit, that we would believe in His only begotten Son, our Savior Jesus. Now, notice that Yahweh will not keep silent or be quiet, but He's going to wait until these things will happen, that her righteousness will go forth as brightness. Of course, this will tie into Isaiah chapter 60, two chapters back. Remember that chapter began by saying, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yahweh will rise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Again, remember that the righteousness goes forth as brightness, that the salvation is as a burning torch, that the righteousness of Christ becomes ours by faith, imputed, reckoned, declared to be ours, given to us as a gift. His light shines upon us, and when we walk in His light, His blood cleanses us from all sin. And then as He shines upon us, His light then shines forth in the darkness of the world. Remember Matthew chapter 5. "You are the light of the world," Jesus says. "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Again, remember, the only begotten Son is the light of the world. He comes to the world. He comes to enlighten men. When His light shines upon us and we are received into His kingdom and given the gift of faith and the Holy Spirit, enlightening our hearts, then we begin to shine with His brightness. And then others in the darkness can see His light as it is reflected on us. And so others will come to us to see Jesus. Again, you have that understanding of the light of Jesus shining upon us. It is first primarily His good work, and then we begin to do good works. The light begins to shine forth from us as the Holy Spirit is working in us. Now back to chapter 62. These are the words that are spoken to the righteous remnant, heavenly Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, that are the ones who are waiting upon the righteousness of God, the brightness of God that will come, the salvation of God like a burning torch that will come. Now recall with me in the previous chapter, God says that He will call the people oaks of righteousness, of His planting, what He has done. So first you have the righteousness of Jesus, and then He's the one who makes us righteous. And then we have been clothed with the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. Back in Isaiah 61, remember? "For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so Adonai Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations." That the external righteousness flows forth from faith. Faith in the heart, in which God makes us right with Him, giving to us a good conscience. That we become His people. We become His children. Remember in Isaiah 63, the way that we become righteous, justified, accounted righteous, is by the knowledge of the righteous one, the servant of Yahweh. For He's the one who bears our iniquities. And again in Isaiah 54, "Their righteousness is from me, declares Yahweh." Oh, and once more, Isaiah 45, "In Yahweh all the offspring of Israel," that's the children, "shall be justified, that is, pardon of sin, declared righteous in God's sight. Now, going back to Isaiah chapter 62, let's pick up at verse 2. The nation shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of Yahweh will give you. Once again, notice in the text, the nation shall see your righteousness. Kings will see your glory. God's righteousness and glory will be reflected from the people, shining forth to the Gentiles. Now, once again, when we talk about the Gentiles, the nations, these are the people of the earth that do not have the promises of the Messiah. Yet he is the Savior of the nations. They are those who dwell in deep darkness, but upon them a great light will shine. And that light will shine forth in the proclamation of the gospel, that light will go out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So once again, we're talking about the conversion of the Gentiles. Now, this has been a familiar theme back in the previous chapter, in chapter 61 at verse 5. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. And remember, Isaiah chapter 61, that's the passage Jesus was reading at the synagogue in Nazareth, where immediately he began talking about the conversion of the Gentiles. Or even go back further to, again, chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yahweh will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Once again, we have the proclamation to the nations, adorned with the name of Yahweh. We shall be called by a new name that the mouth of Yahweh will give us. Now, this whole theme of a new name goes all the way back to Isaiah 1. Remember, in Isaiah 1, the city of Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, was referred to as unfaithful and unrighteous. But the promise in chapter 1, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now, Christians, that is, followers of Christ, are given that name Christians because they are of Christ. We have a new name in him, not our old name, the name of the earth, but the new name, the name of the new heavens and the new earth. Now, going back to Isaiah 62, we pick up at verse 3. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Now, this is a very similar image to what we had in Isaiah 28, but here it's transposed. Back in Isaiah 28, it says, in that day, Yahweh of hosts will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. Now, notice how it has been changed around. It's been reversed. It begins by saying that Yahweh himself is a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty for his people. But now look how this image is transposed, that now the people of God, his righteous oaks, his planting that have the robes of righteousness, the garments of salvation, his people shall be a crown of beauty in his hand. His people shall be a royal diadem in his hand. Now again, I want you to notice that connection, that Yahweh alone is righteous. He gives to his people the gift of his righteousness so that his people become righteous in him. Now again, notice that connection, that Yahweh himself is the crown of glory and the diadem of beauty, but then in him, in Christ, we're a new creation and we become the crown of beauty and the royal diadem in his hand. Furthermore, look at the placement of this crown and this diadem. Now, the crown and diadem is supposed to be upon the head. But instead, it is in his palm. It's in his hand. He is looking at the crown and the diadem, the crown of glory and this diadem of beauty, that he's beholding his people that have been crowned with his glory and beauty. Now, these are wonderful, wonderful, mercifully compassionate, filled words, that this is God who sees us in his Son. The Father sees us and he sees Jesus. We're covered with the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus being the perfect, only begotten Son of the same divine essence of the Father. And we being adopted sons by grace, but yet clothed in the righteousness of Jesus when we are baptized. And so the Father looks at us and he doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus, the Son, without any sin at all. That's his eyes beholding us through Christ. And likewise, we behold the Father through Christ. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. When we see Jesus, we see the mercy and the love and the compassion and the forgiveness of the Father. So notice the placement of the crown in the hand and eyes looking at the crown. The God himself is admiring his own handiwork. Now, also think about Isaiah 43, where the Lord says, "Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." Thus, he makes these wonderful statements, these declarations of love at verse 4 in chapter 43. But later on in the same chapter at verse 13, he says, "Henceforth, I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back?" Now, as we said before, these words of Yahweh holding us in his hand and no one can take us out of his hand. And of course, these wonderful words of promise go back to that song of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, that no one can deliver us out of his hand. Now, I want you to see the connection between eyes and hands, that when you're in his hands, his eyes are upon you. And when you're in his hands, here he is looking upon you and smiling upon you because of the Son. His face shines upon you, and then the glory of his face is reflected off of you. Again, think about this image of the hands. Isaiah 49, "Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Now again, think of this idea that you are engraved on the palms of his hands. That's where you are, and that's where he is looking. And he looks at his hands, he looks at his work, and he sees this with his own eyes. And he is delighted in what he has done to bring righteousness and salvation to us. Now in Isaiah 62, when he's talking about this crown, the crown is supposed to be on the head, but it has been taken and placed into his hands. And what the Lord was dressed in himself, he now sees in his hands. Again, I want you to see that connection between the righteousness of Jesus and being clothed in his righteousness. I mean, that was the language back in chapter 61, that he is going to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Now take note of the correlation between God rejoicing in us and his people rejoicing in him. In fact, in Isaiah 61, again, the prophet says, "I will rejoice greatly in Yahweh. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Again, notice the headdress. What is upon the head? Now let's go ahead and go back to Isaiah chapter 62, picking up at verse 4. "You shall no more be termed forsaken." and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For Yahweh delights in you, and your land shall be married. Now, once again, with these words, notice the renaming. Cities are given a new name when they are destroyed and rebuilt. You see, they're under new management. This, of course, points to the person and work of Christ. It is for His sake that the Father now delights in us. It is for His sake, because of Him, that now the Lord rejoices in us. So we're no longer going to be termed or named forsaken. Now, these are new names. Remember the names that the city had before in chapter 1, which was distinguishing them as a people who forsook the Lord, and therefore they were forsaken by Him. Now, back in chapter 1, to the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of Yahweh is heard very clearly. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. And again in chapter 49, but Zion said, Yahweh has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And again, this theme is seen in chapter 54. Yahweh has called you like a forsaken wife and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. Again, back in chapter 60. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You see, these are wonderful words of good news, that the one who was forsaken, the one who forsook God, will now be returned and reunited to God and will no longer be forsaken, but will be gathered by God and will rejoice in God as God rejoices in her. And thus the prophet said, you'll no longer be named forsaken. Instead, your name will be, My delight is in her. And continuing with this renaming theme, your land shall no more be termed desolate. Well, going back to Isaiah chapter 1 at verse 7, your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate, as overthrown by foreigners. Now, this theme of the land being desolate shows forth that the land is not producing. The land is not blessed by God, but cursed. This theme will continue through Isaiah. We'll see it again in Isaiah chapter 6, in which Isaiah the prophet says, How long, O Lord? And he said, Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And Yahweh removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Or again in Isaiah chapter 54, the words of good news come to the desolate one, that the desolate one would be able to rejoice in a turn of events. So in Isaiah 54, right after the image of Christ, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world in Isaiah 53, after seeing that vision, we are to rejoice and sing. Therefore, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says Yahweh. And again in Isaiah chapter 54, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. And I want you to notice this correlation and connection between being desolate, having no children, and being married and producing children. Keep that in the back of your mind. Now, this theme continues in chapter 64, in which the prophet writes, "The people cry out to Yahweh. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation." Now, see this direct connection between the land and the people who dwell on it. When the land does not produce, when the land is not fertile, there's a direct connection to the people not producing, or as we would say, reproducing, and not being fertile. When the land and the people are desolate, there is a lack of life. Now, this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam came from the ground. And then when Adam was cursed, the ground was cursed because of the fall into sin. Now in the new creation, in the new heavens and the new earth, both humanity and earth are blessed in Christ. That in Christ there now is life where there was death. Thus, with this imagery, what Isaiah is doing is showing us this connection between the desolate land and the desolate people, that no longer will the land be called desolate, but instead the land will be named married, the new name. The new name comes from the incarnation. Remember the names of Jesus in Isaiah 7? Emmanuel, that is God with us. That he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty, God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And because of the incarnation, he is making things new. And as he makes things new, he is making us renewed in him. And thus we are given new names. Now, in the book of Revelation, John will give us this picture in this way as he sees the vision in chapter 3 of his book. John hears the voice of Jesus saying, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name." Now remember, in the book of Revelation, we are rejoicing in the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, that he is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. Again, back in Isaiah 62, verse 5, "For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." The church is seen in the eyes of God according to his word. And now the church sees things according to God's word. Now back in Isaiah 54, "Your maker is your husband, Yahweh of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The God of the whole earth, he is called. Sing and rejoice with him, for he will people the desolate cities." Your land will no longer be termed desolate.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.